Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are now going to go to Trish, who's out on the streets someplace in Texas. Where are you, kiddo?
Okay, so got to share this. I was at that pizza joint, and can you believe it? Somebody calls in and asks for the manager and says, excuse me, is this the manager? And Todd, the manager, says, yes. She says, well, are you on the radio right now? And the manager laughs. She goes, yes, we are. She goes, I'm praying for you.
Oh, that's very
And then
sweet.
I walked, check this out. I walk outside to see if I can find another interview. And there's this young guy walking by. And he goes, Trish, are you Trish? And he points at me. And I go, yes, I am. He goes, we're listening to you right down at this firm. And we've got it on the radio. He goes, I had a feeling this was the place.
Oh, that's very cool. All right, who are you there with, Trish?
Okay, I'm here with a gentleman named Dave. He's an atheist.
Dave.
And he's sitting in his work truck at a gas station. I'm going to pass it off to you.
All righty.
Yeah. Hello.
Dave.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on the radio.
Uh-huh.
So you're an atheist?
Yes, sir.
You're very laid back for an atheist. Do you get upset at Christians?
No.
Do you think we're a bit naive?
No.
Why do you think we've got to be deluded to believe in God when you know there's not one?
Well, I don't believe in any of it, seriously.
So when did you become an atheist? Was it something happened in your life? Did something rotten happen and you just got disillusioned or what?
It's the way I was raised by my parents, man.
Your parents are atheists?
Yes.
And their parents are atheists? Right back to Adam.
Well, I don't know about their parents, but we don't talk about religion too much.
You don't? No. Do you know if there's any evidence for God's existence?
It's not been evidence to me. If there was, I might change my ways, but, there's a lot of questions in my mind about it, you know what I mean?
Hey, Dave, it's so nice to hear you talk like that. You sound like a very nice, open-minded person to say if you found evidence that you might change your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the evidence for God's existence? Because I think you sound like a thinking person, so let's get the thinking caps on and think, is there evidence for God? Here's how I talk about God's existence with people such as yourself. When you look at a building, how do you know there was a builder? What evidence is there? Yeah, you can't see the builder, hear him, touch him, taste him, or smell him. You look at a big old building, how do you know there was a builder?
There's a builder?
Yeah, how do you know there was a builder?
It was built.
Yeah, because the building's there. Buildings right. Don't happen by themselves. They don't accidentally right. just fall into doors and windows and walls and roofs and floors,
right.
etc.
Yeah,
okay.
The way I was raised, if you can't see it, it probably ain't true.
Okay, so second one, when you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter?
Because it was painted.
Yeah, because there's a painting. You can't have paintings, but the paintings don't happen by themselves. So
right.
now here is the same logical thought. When you look at creation, how do you know there was a creator? Well, creation is there. The flowers, the birds, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the marvel of the human eye with 137 million light-sensitive cells.
Everything got here from somebody. I know that.
Yeah, so obviously there's some sort of force out there. Some people call it God, some people don't. But obviously there's something, a creative force that created all things. So.
Oh, of course.
And then add to that you've got a conscience. Now, maybe you think your parents gave you a conscience, but every single person seems to have a knowledge of right and wrong. We know it's wrong to lie and steal and kill and commit adultery. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got the evidence of creation to tell you there's a creator. Then you've got the evidence of your conscience to tell you right from wrong. So let's take that a little further. Let's just give a big if in here. Imagine if God does exist, and imagine there is a judgment day and there is a heaven and a hell. This is just imagine. We're doing a John Lennon thing. Reversed. Do you think you'd get into heaven? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Of course.
Okay, now I'm going to take you through some of the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the commandments?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll go through a few of the commandments and see if you are a good person. Here's one of them. You shall not lie. Have you ever lied?
I believe everybody has it once in their life.
So you have. What do you call someone who tells lies?
call them?
Yeah. What do we call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No, sir.
You're not lying to me, Dave?
No, sir.
Okay, never stolen a thing. That's great. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
A couple times.
Okay, that's very serious. In fact, the Bible gives the death sentence for someone who blasphemes the name of God, because what they're doing is they're actually taking God's holy name and using it as a cuss word to express disgust. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And listen to this one. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery, but Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course.
So, this is how you're doing, Dave. We've looked at four of the Ten Commandments. You've got through one, it seems, because you haven't stolen anything. But you're a self-admitted, lying, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. So we'll bring the if back in. If God judged you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I'd probably be guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, if I believed in them, I'd probably go to hell, I imagine.
Yeah, actually, even if you didn't believe in hell, you'd go to hell. It's like a criminal saying to the judge, Judge, I am guilty. I've broken the law. I raped and murdered that woman, but I'm guilty. If there was an electric chair and I believed in it, I'd go there. No, he's going there whether he believes in it or not. So does it concern you, Dave, that if you died today, if you had an aneurysm in your sleep or you got hit by a car or whatever, or your heart gave out, does it concern you that you'd go to hell forever? You'd be damned if God judged you by those commandments?
Really.
Okay, now here's another question for you, and this will make you think. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
No, I would not.
Would you sell them both for $100 million?
No, I would not.
So your eyes are without price. And your eyes are merely the windows of your soul. Your life, the real Dave, looks out of those little windows that we call eyes. Think how much you value your eyes, and you've just told me that you don't value your life. You don't care if death seizes upon you and you end up damned for eternity. Man, I know that you care about your life. I know that you've got something in you that says, oh, I don't want to die, I want to live. It's stronger than every other desire you've got. It's your will to live, and it's God-given. So, man, think seriously. You told me earlier on that if you found evidence of God's existence, you might change. Well, I've given you very clear evidence of God's existence, evidence that your own consciousness agrees with. You know God exists because of creation. You know right from wrong because of your conscience. So that's all the evidence you need, and the Bible actually says you're without excuse. So please think seriously about what we talked about. Now, you said you had a few questions. Let's just say that you were convinced today that there is some creative force. What were some of the questions you had?
There's a lot of questions.
Just give me one. Give me one, Dave.
I've read a lot of literature on it, stuff like that, and you know, there's a lot of stuff, and even in the Bible itself, in the New Testament and Old Testament, there's a lot of things that contradict herself.
Could you give me one example? Because I've been reading the Bible every day for 34 years, and I can't find any mistakes in there except my mistakes. So can you give me one example of what you're talking about?
I really can't remember all of them offhand.
Don't have to remember all of them. Just give me one.
You're not supposed to commit adultery before marriage, all that, you know, contemplates marriage, stuff like that, you know.
Fornication, yeah.
Say Adam and Eve, for instance, they were basically, you know, breaking the Ten Commandments and stuff there. You know, so how can he say...
Which commandment did they break?
Well, wasn't they lovers or whatever? They were never married.
Yeah, but remember what marriage is. It's when God joins a couple together in union, and God created them, and they were joined together in a union under God's blessing. So they weren't fornicating. They weren't adulterers. They had God's blessing. They had his presence with them. So you got no problems there. So that's not going to hold water on Judgment Day. So another question. Any others?
There's a few, but I'd have to, you know, look them up again.
Well, we've made progress. We've moved from a lot to a few, and you've been kind enough to acknowledge there is a creative force out there. So my friend Todd is going to ask you a question now. Todd.
Dave, how do you do, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Cool. And so this guy has been trying to convert you.
All right.
So are you converted?
No, sir.
No. Hey, Dave, is this possible, Dave? That you're not looking for answers to how to make sure the Bible doesn't make mistakes. You're just kind of wanting to go about living your life because you're pretty happy living the way you are right now, and you just don't think that you want to submit yourself to a God. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's pretty much fair. You know, I mean, I was put on here to live and support my family, and, you know, one day we all got to die. And so, you know, if that's tomorrow or 10 years from now, you know, that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's very true. But the issue for folks tends to be that, you know, they look at the creation and it should be obvious there's a creator. They've got a conscience. They know that they've sinned against that creator, but they just want to keep on sinning.
Right. Well, it's not that I just, you know, go around sinning or nothing. You know, I still have morals. You know, I mean, I don't go around sinning just to be sinning. I mean, I still follow my own set of morals.
Dave,
as far as,
so every day you're for the most part perfect.
Well, no, not by no means. I don't think there's a man on earth that's perfect.
Yeah, see, so you do go on sinning every day. And the whole and the whole issue tends to be about pride. I just don't want to bend the knee to this God because I want to be in control of what I'm doing. Does that sound like you?
Well, no, not really. I mean, if there was evidence and somebody could really answer a lot of the questions I had, you know, then it's
Dave,
possible.
I would beg you to do this. Write them down, man, and open up your Bible and take a look because they're so answerable if you want them answered. Hey, Dave, appreciate your time today, sir.
All right.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. This would be the part of the day where I ask you to consider supporting Wretched. And there are two things we would really appreciate if you are able. One would be to add Wretched to your prayer list. We would be very grateful. And two, become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Those are the folks whose generosity allows us to be here and on TV, the internet, and produce our resources. Wretched.org/donate has the details on how you can become a Wretched monthly gospel partner and join us as we preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church. Your faithful and consistent support will help us reach millions of people around the world with the gospel, and we will promise to be good stewards of your money. 83% of every dollar you give goes right to ministry work. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsen, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
What are some of the best partnerships you will have in your entire life? Marriage? Business? Wrong. The best partnership you will ever have is becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Because when you're a gospel partner, you help Wretched reach the lost with the gospel. Without your consistent financial support, Wretched couldn't do what we do. Things like distribute 1 million copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? Or say, film a new show, call it Road Trip to Truth, and get John Fabares to be the host. If you're already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you please consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Because the more our gospel partners give, the more we are able to give away. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner and help us reach those in need of the gospel. Because we may not be the best partnership you'll ever have, but we come pretty close.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's hit the streets and talk to Joey. Hey, Joey, what's going on, dude?
Hey, not much. I'm just hanging outside Starbucks, and I got a Starbucks employee here named Grace, who's ready to talk.
Is she on her break?
She is on her break.
Oh, good. Yep. Okay.
She is not sure where she'll go when she dies. She has a Christian background, and yes, that's about it. So I'll pass you over.
Very, very good. Thank you very much.
Hi there.
Grace, how do you do?
I'm well. How about yourself?
You've got a Bible name. Did you know that?
I do indeed.
What does it mean?
unmerited favor.
Excellent.
Or a free gift.
Yeah.
And I need a lot of it. So there you go.
Why do you need a lot of that?
Oh, I'm pretty much, well, you know, we all do. We're all very, we have a sin nature. We all have those things we all do that, you know, babies learn how to say no. It's one of their first words, you know.
Yeah.
Starts there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so where does grace come from?
I believe it comes from God. I know you guys are doing a discussion and stuff. I believe that a God who is a wrath, there's a God of wrath and there's a God of peace. He's all of the above. It's kind of, for me, I'm not a big debater, but I do like to kind of know what I believe. And I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the one who loves us. And honestly, you know, it's the only one who can help us when we try to do things on our own strength. It doesn't always work out. That's pretty much what I learn every day. And I try to maintain a faith, and I try to maintain trust in God, but I don't always make steps to do it. But
yeah, Grace, tell me what would be the single biggest reason why you would try to convince me that I should be a Christian?
Wow. Well, I guess for my personal testimony would be the best way. For myself, when I try to do things on my own, when I've tried to do things of you know, I've believed that I've done the whole New Age thing. I've done the whole, you know, no faith at all thing. I've done all these different things, you know, and then everything I've been through in life. The only thing that's ever brought me peace, the only thing that has brought me comfort is asking for God's help and asking for Jesus specifically his help. So that to me would be something that hopefully would convince you.
All right, so let me put this on a bumper sticker. You're telling me life is better with Jesus.
It is.
Okay.
It's better in the way of, it's not easier, but there is peace amidst the storm.
Okay, so what happens if I say to you, Grace, I got to tell you something. My life is just fine. I mean, really, I could not. Mm-hmm. My wife, oh, terrific. My kids, love them. Everything is well. Yeah. I don't know how Jesus could improve my life. I don't think I need him.
You know, and it's funny because a lot of people, even Christians, say or in fact don't need God, because we're very self-sufficient people, and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad. God wants to bless people in general. We're all his children. Not all of us follow him, but he wants to love and bless all of his children. And so, in fact, you could be having a good life, you know, with your family, your friends, and, you know, but
it's even better
time for everyone, whether it be later on in life or whether it be at a certain time of crisis. You know, it's not always.
Yeah.
Now, there might be stages in your life, you know, where this crisis are good or bad, but
right.
It comes a time where someone feels the need.
All right, so know? I got to tell you, life has been going just fine. Let's say, though, uh-huh. I fell off the window and I landed on my noggin and I died, and I'm not a Christian. What's going to happen to me?
Well, those are the kind of things although I know the answer to them, I don't like debating them or people. If you were to ask that, you know, as a question of your, I guess my question would be, is your question for asking it more, and obviously this is an interview, but I'm saying if, you know, you personally were wanting to know for the sake of, you know, your salvation or where you wanted to go, or if it was just for the sake of debate, that'd be one thing, because your heart will tell, you know, what the answer, you'll hear the answer in your heart no matter what I say.
You know, that's possible.
I would say, you know, that, oh, go ahead.
Well, I understand where you're coming from. That some people just I'm not asking to argue it. You are a Christian. I'm asking you. I fall out the window and die. What's going to happen to me?
Well, I don't know. It was in the midst of that falling. You said, "Help me, God." But I believe, as far as I know, that, you know, God is a merciful God, and he reveals himself to people through creation, through people, through situations. And I don't know if, you know, you may have said, hey, you know, I don't necessarily believe in you, God, but I need you, and I, you know, but I don't know what, you know, I mean, I can't judge where a person's going to go.
All right.
I can say,
okay,
you know, you need Jesus. He needs to be the person that you,
why,
you know.
Why do I need Jesus?
Well, because he claimed that he was God. And according to my faith, you know, what I believe at least,
yeah.
You know, that's in my, you know, my opinion and my faith that, you know.
Well, I'm a good Hindu. I just don't see any need for Jesus, frankly.
Yeah, people will feel that and believe that. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that there's people all over the world who have followed a faith or been in a tribe or a, you know, any kind of, you know, Hindu, whether it be Hindu in or in Africa and some tribes, you know, people have, you know, I've heard of people who are missionaries out in the field out there that just, you know, they go and they have people who've heard about, you know, Jesus who died on the cross and rose again for your iniquities, you know, and all those things. They've heard about it or had visions or dreams, you know, and that's how I know, in my opinion, that's how I know God is real. It's what he's been in my life and what I've seen him do in other people's life, what I've seen him do, you know.
Yeah.
For other people.
I want to read a Bible verse to you from your Bible, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have you heard of the book 2 Thessalonians?
Yes.
All right. This is chapter 1. Jesus Christ will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power when he comes to receive glory and praise from his holy people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me seems to be the issue right there.
That's it. Yeah, that's a good reason. Yeah.
Okay. So we can say, Grace, that if somebody falls out of the window and lands on their head and they don't have Jesus, their issue is not happiness. Their issue is righteousness.
Right.
That everybody's going to be judged by God, and there's no such thing as a good Hindu, because your Bible says that everybody sins. They break God's law, and they fall short of his standard. And because he's holy, righteous, and just, he must pour out his wrath on anybody who refuses to repent. And so the Hindu is going to receive the wrath of God, and so would a radio guy that you're talking to who is not a Christian. And we can say that definitively, just as sure as we can state if you walk out into the highway that's busy, you're going to get mowed over. We can say if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you say that?
I think, well, I'm not for myself, but a lot of people are afraid to say it. A lot of people are, I think for me at least, I've seen so many Christians who are on the one side who are very in your face with judgment, but not much with love. And I think I've gone to the other side, you know, of the pendulum, so to speak,
I try to
preach the side of, you know, love and of peace and of, you know, but at the same time, I understand there is that real judgment. There is that real, you know.
But, you know, Grace,
when I
asked you why I should become a Christian, you presented me the life enhancement gospel. Come to Jesus and life will be better. You can be rich and famous, but boy, life is not as sweet as it'll be unless you have Jesus in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is true from a certain perspective, that's not a person's problem, because there can be so many famous people and rich people and people who are just having a perfectly nice life. They don't need a life enhancement program. They need to have their sins forgiven. And when I asked you what's the number one reason I should become a Christian, you should have quoted your name.
That's true.
So how come you didn't?
Well, I think I talk to a lot of Christians more than I talk to non-believers. I talk to a lot of Christians who are struggling. And for them, it's, why should I come back to Jesus, or why should I bother with the church? Why should, you know, because there's a lot of issues in the church. And
what do you tell them?
For me,
And what do you say to them?
Pretty much the same thing, that you can try to do things on your own, but that in the end, God is your creator and he knows what's best for you.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant, because for a lot of people have a perfectly successful life. And more than that, the issue for every human being is facing God on Judgment Day, where he's going to examine the thoughts, the intentions of the heart. So instead of talking about how life can be better, we should be talking about how sins can be forgiven. And one of the best ways to do that, so it doesn't look like you're a condescending, arrogant jerk, is instead of walking up to people and saying, well, you're a blasphemer, you're going to hell, instead you can use the Ten Commandments as a mirror to hold it up to their face and say, hey, take a look in this mirror. This is how God sees you. And you can walk through the commandments and say, have you ever broken this commandment? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Has God always been first in your life? Oh, friend, you got to know, if you've dishonored your parents, if you've looked with lust, if you've told lies and coveted and desired things that didn't belong to you, That's a violation of God's law. And the Bible says that lawbreakers are going to get punished.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
then
true.
They understand their need for a Savior, because their need isn't happiness. Their need is forgiveness. And so if we're if we're going to be true and faithful witnesses, we need to use the law of God so that your name will make sense to them.
That's true. No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, so maybe the next time somebody asks, or the next time you talk to somebody, you should keep the issue on sins being forgiven.
Yeah.
Hey, Grace?
No, that is true. That's the main goal of the gospel.
Grace?
And his,
Make sure you share that with folks, because that's the main thing for everybody. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Hey,
fair
thanks,
enough.
Thanks
I
for
agree.
The chat.
Thank you.
Hey, Grace,
of
see
course.
You.
Of course, thanks.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Got to tell you, life getting better. That's a pittance compared to sins being forgiven and inheriting eternal life.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. If it's fall, it must be time for the Supreme Court. This week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments to redefine sex in federal law. This case centers on a Michigan Christian funeral home that fired a biological male employee who wished to wear a female uniform during a funeral and thus violated the business's sex-specific dress code. When the employee sued, a lower court decided that, yep, funeral home must allow their employee to dress as a woman based on the gender identity. An appellate court later ruled that it is analytically impossible to fire an employee based on that employee's status as a transgender person without being motivated, at least in part, by the employee's sex. The ACLU, according to BuzzFeed, said that the funeral home violated a precedent set in a 1989 Price Waterhouse versus Hopkins hearing in which a woman was denied partnership at her firm because she did not act like a woman. The discrimination, the court ruled, was based on gender stereotypes. Alliance Defending Freedom, standing with Funeral Home, believes that redefining sex as gender identity would be dangerous. Vice President of Appellate Advocacy John Bursch saying Americans should be able to rely on what the law says. Redefining sex to mean gender identity creates chaos, is unfair to women and girls, and puts employers in very difficult situations. ADF also concerned about the implications should the court rule against the funeral home. If sex were redefined as gender identity, it would cause problems in employment law, reduce bodily privacy protections for everyone, and erode equal opportunities for women and girls, among a host of other consequences. And it's round number three for the Little Sisters of the Poor, asking the Supreme Court again to stop the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services from requiring them to provide contraceptive services in their health care plans. The group had expected relief after President Trump expanded the list of entities eligible for the exemption to the HHS contraceptive and abortifacient mandate. Courts have not ruled definitely whether the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, requiring the highest standard of review for laws burdening the free exercise of religion, protects the nuns from the contraceptive mandate. The Supreme Court dodged the whole question in 2016 with its Zubik v. Burrell ruling. The justices sent the case back to lower courts, directed those parties to try to reach a compromise. Well, that worked well. The decision implied that the government could revise the rules to give more leeway to religious objectors. 2018, HHS issued a new rule with a broader religious exemption that would have covered the Little Sisters, but states continued to challenge the law. In July of this year, a lower court maintained an order blocking the broader exemption from taking effect, of course. So on October 1st, the nuns asked the Supreme Court to overturn that decision. Wheels on the bus go around and round. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ray, I'm sorry to do this. We're going to hit the streets here in just a moment, but we've got a breaking news story that we really think needs to be covered.
Todd, Tom in the Box is reporting that Larry O'Neill, pastor of Yellow Creek Baptist Church in Amarillo, Texas, was shocked to discover members of his church had been placing bets on how many people would get decisions at the church each week. The church of just over 500 members boasts some 500,000 souls won in the last 10 years. Each weekend, the church works hard at their bus ministry, sending out large buses to the surrounding neighborhoods and asking people to make a decision. The results of the weekend's work are then posted on the church's website. Here's Pastor Larry O'Neill.
Now, last week we had 2,702 make a decision. It was one of our best weeks yet. Now, we're against gambling here, and we're against any activity that is tied to gambling. We can't stop the soul winning. You've got to see those numbers posted up there for all the world to see. We're steadily on our way to a million, and no one is going to stop us. Now, if people want to bet on it, then, well, there's nothing we can do to stop them. Those numbers are really the most important thing. Show people how many souls we're winning out there.
Todd, you can be sure we'll keep watching this story.
Oh, Trish! Oh, wait,
hi.
Oh, I hate when I do that. I like it when we get to eavesdrop on you.
You always scare me, and so I gotta, hey.
Sorry. Alrighty, so Trish, what's going on now?
Okay, I have a young couple with me. The boyfriend, their boyfriend and girlfriend, the boyfriend says that, you know, that he's a Christian. I haven't got to talk to him a lot, but it's the weird thing is that he has a Hindu girlfriend. And I'm just, you know, that's perplexing to me, obviously, you know why.
So here's the scenario. You've got a guy who claims to be a Christian. He's dating a Hindu girlfriend. Would that be one of those things where I'd say, uh-oh, he's not a Christian? Or could it just be an education issue?
It could be an education issue, or it could be he's genuine. He's got a girlfriend. He's not planning to marry her, but he's trying to reach her for Christ.
Ah.
It may not be that serious. It's just that's
dating evangelism.
That's it.
Aha.
It's hands-off evangelism.
I've got it now. Mm-hmm. There was I was reading that somebody was doing a worldwide competition to try to figure out the cheapest, most cost-efficient way to do evangelism. And I went, that's easy. Talk to somebody. I mean, I appreciate the effort and the focus on evangelism. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but that costs something, Todd.
What?
Your pride.
Ah. You know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. But instead, a lot of the people sending in ideas about
think a lot.
Programs, outreach efforts, clowns, face painting to, you know, bring kids, and then we'll tell them the gospel. Or you could just tell them the gospel, kind of the way that we're supposed to. We've kind of moved away. We kind of use a lot of stuff, and that can be okay. But the cheapest, if you really want the cheapest, well, that's a no-brainer. Just saddle up next to somebody and have a chat with them.
It's like someone's drowning right next to your lifeboat, you can reach out and pull them in, or you could get a paddle and try and poke them with a paddle before you try and pull them in.
Let's check in with Trish. How you doing, kiddo?
Okay, we're doing really good. I just hopped in my car, and I've got... this is just crazy. So I have two different cars following me. We're at the end of this parking lot. You see, I was in a Walmart parking lot, and all the managers came out, and they're like, sorry, you've got to leave. So we said, oh, great, thank you. Hopped in the cars, and this young couple, who are a wonderful sport, followed me all the way to the end of this parking lot. And your name again?
Michael.
And your girlfriend's name? Debbie. And Debbie's Hindu, right?
Ray, do you want to talk to the Christian guy or the Hindu woman?
Well, what do you think? Go for the Hindu.
Can we talk to the Hindu woman?
I will go for
the Hindu. Absolutely.
All right.
And I appreciate you, both of you guys. This is kind of drama, isn't it? But you guys are sports. You jumped in your little convertible and followed me. Okay, Debbie, we're going to put you on the air. Okay, 1 second. You're going to be talking live to either
English.
Todd or Ray. One
Ray.
Second. There you are, Ray. Comfort.
Right. Have fun, Ray.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Debbie.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being a good sport and following Trish in your car and coming on the radio. Really appreciate it. So you're a Hindu?
Yes, I am.
Could you tell me what you think happens? What's the official stance on what happens when someone dies? What's going to happen to you when you die as a Hindu?
Well, as a Hindu, I believe that if you die, you become a spirit and you're reborn and you have seven births. That's what I believe in.
You have what?
You have seven births. You're reborn seven times.
Seven births?
Yes.
Whoa, that's interesting. Now, have you talked to Michael about this?
Yeah, he thinks it's absurd. He knows.
He thinks
but he doesn't believe it.
So what has he told you about what happens after someone dies?
Well, he said that you just die and you become I don't think he believes in rebirth like I do, but he just thinks that if you're a good spirit, you go to heaven. If you're not, I guess you go to hell.
Now, has he talked to you about what's going to happen to you when you die?
No, not really. What I believed and what my parents have taught.
Are you serious as boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
So he must be concerned for you if he believes that people end up in hell if they die in their sins.
Yeah, kind of.
Debbie, has he ever talked to you about the Ten Commandments?
No, not really. Must have. I don't really remember much of it.
Do you have the Ten Commandments in Hinduism?
No, not really.
Are you familiar with any of them?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with any of the Ten Commandments?
No.
Oh, well, let's go through a few of them. So let's just ask the question, if Michael's right and there is a heaven, and you have to be good to go to heaven, do you think you're good enough to go to heaven?
I don't think I've done anything really wrong, so I don't think I should go to hell. So.
Well, let's just check. We'll go through some of those Ten Commandments and see if you've done anything really wrong, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Okay, now what do you call someone who tells lies?
Well, if the lie doesn't hurt, I don't think it's bad.
Yeah, but what do you call someone, whether it hurts or not? What are they called if they tell lies?
They call them a liar.
Have you ever stolen something in your life, irrespective of its value?
No.
You're not telling a lie, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm very honest on that.
Debbie, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Well, I pray, but I mean, what do you mean by in vain?
Have you ever used God's name as a curse word? Oh, GD.
No, not really, no.
Not really? So you've done it once or twice?
Maybe.
Okay, now that's...
Out of total frustration, maybe, but not really.
Yeah, out of frustration. That's called blasphemy. It's a breaking of the third of the Ten Commandments where you use God's name, his holy name, as a cuss word to express disgust. It's very, very, very serious in God's sight. In fact, the Bible says death sentence for anyone who blasphemes God's name. God considers it to be that serious. Now, Jesus said, if you look with lust, sexual desire at another person, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever even once in your life looked with lust?
No.
So you've got a pure heart?
I'm sorry?
So you've got a pure heart? You've never looked with lust at another person?
No, not really. No.
Not really? Does that mean you've done it once or twice?
Maybe. I don't really think that looking at someone is really wrong.
No, of course we don't think it's really wrong. We wouldn't really do it. But God says we commit adultery in the heart when we do that. We all do it. Okay, so listen to this, Debbie. Mm-hmm. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. What?
If God judges you by those Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment when you stand before him, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I don't think so, because I haven't done anything really wrong to hurt somebody, and I believe that if you don't hurt somebody in life, you don't really go to hell. So that's my belief. But.
Yeah, I can understand that. But what happens when you sin against God is that you sin against him. You don't hurt anybody when you blaspheme, but you sin against God. You don't hurt anybody when you look with lust, but you sin against God. You violate his law. You anger God when you do that. So on the Day of Judgment, you'd be found guilty. And listen to the standard that God has. He says, be perfect. That's the only way you're going to enter heaven is to be perfect. And the scriptures warn...
I'm not perfect.
Absolutely. You're right. You're like the rest of us. The Bible says this, Debbie, and this is really scary. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer or adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. And then add to that that God has seen your thought life. He's seen the things you've done in darkness, and everything you've thought God has seen. And he considers hatred to be murder. And if you get even anger without cause, the Bible says you're in danger of judgment, because God is perfect and holy and righteous. And because he's good by nature, he must punish wrongdoing. He cannot let injustice go free. So that leaves you in big trouble. So do you understand that, Debbie, that if you died today, according to the Bible, if God gives you justice, you'd end up in hell? Does that concern you?
Well, if you think about it, yeah, but I don't really think about the day I die. I don't.
Well, Debbie, I do. I'm very concerned for you. I'm thinking about the day you die, and that's why I'm pouring my heart out to you.
So, really?
Think about it, because if you were getting in a car that had faulty brakes and you're going to go down a hill and there's a thousand-foot cliff at the bottom of this hill and you're going to go over it, man, I'd want to warn you that you're in danger. I'd say, hey, don't get in that car. And I'm very concerned for you. Even though I don't know you, I care about you. And I know Michael cares about you. Now, do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he did for us?
I'm sorry?
God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and take the punishment for our sins. That's what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. And what you've got to do, Debbie, is repent and trust in Jesus. Talk to Michael about it. He cares about you, and he cares where you'll spend eternity, and so do we. And then talk to Trish and get a hold of a Bible and read it. And, Debbie, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
The engine light turning on in your car. Forgetting to pay a bill. Not having don't stub your toe to give out to children on Halloween. These are all very scary things. But we can at least help you with that last one. Halloween is right around the corner, and that means it's the perfect opportunity to share the gospel with your neighbors. This year, while you pass out the candy to the kids coming to your door, also give them a copy of Don't Stub Your Toe. I mean, come on. They are literally coming right to your door. It doesn't get any easier than that. Unless, of course, they walk up and directly ask you, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? But they hardly ever do that, do they? Visit wretched.org/toe now and order your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe so you're stocked up for Halloween trick-or-treaters. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Get your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe today at wretched.org/toe.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charge for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the promised land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, where are we now?
Trish, don't you miss California's dry heat, huh?
You know, I'm getting used to the humidity. It's not bad. I do miss the consistency, you know, of the California weather, but I don't miss the smog in that Southern California region.
Okay, well, hold on. I've got a question.
It's good to hear the birds coughing in the morning.
I've got a question. Ray,
what?
Do you remember we went preaching in one of those valleys? Because if as I recall in Los Angeles, the different when you're in a different valley, it can be varying degrees of scalding hot.
Oh, yes.
And you went to preach one Sunday morning, and that was when the newly installed pastor got saved that morning after you preached. Do you recall that?
I remember you telling me off for not standing still during the service.
I wasn't so much telling you off as kind of scolding you.
Okay.
Yeah. But you preached that morning, and you said, now, is there anybody here? You didn't do raise your hand and get saved. But you said, now, having heard what you just heard, is there anybody here who realizes that you are indeed a false convert? And the soon-to-be-installed pastor, as I recall, raised his hand.
Mm.
Hello. But it was so hot that morning. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was in the valley. And it might have been a dry heat, but I got to tell you something. You could make a waffle on the right sidewalk.
Yeah. Todd, it's because you were up there closer to the sun. That's
got
your
it.
Problem.
No, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start stooping like
that's it.
Other people. All right, so Trish, where are we now? You just got kicked out of Walmart.
Well, yeah, so first for the second time, you know, the Walmart managers came out and asked us to move to the very back of the parking lot, which we did. And then they all came out again and told us we needed to leave, that we couldn't be even in their parking lot. So we said, oh, we're sorry, sir. We will definitely, leave. So we moved over, and the couple that you just talked to, actually the Hindu lady.
Hindu lady, yes. Debbie.
Debbie is her name, Devi. Oh. Well, you know, her boyfriend and her followed us over to this parking area that is, you know, great to be at now. And he claims to be a Christian. I really want you guys to talk to him. The reason why is because he is with her, he's dating her. They have conflicting stories. You know, he says he has tried to share the gospel with her, but she really, you know, she's Hindu, so she really doesn't want to have a lot to do with it. But she told me he doesn't talk about the Lord very much. I'm just wondering, it confuses me, because as a believer, you know, the Bible is very clear about not being unequally yoked. And, you know, there's a disconnect somewhere there. If he's claiming to be a Christian and he has all the right lingo, something's wrong, because a Christian cannot be with a Hindu, somebody that does not believe in the God of the Bible. We have nothing in common.
Well, that's very true. It could be an educational thing where he doesn't understand it, hasn't thought it through, but the not ever sharing his faith in concern for a woman that he presumably at least likes enough to call girlfriend, I agree, Trish, that's kind of a problem.
And now he says that he does share it, but she kind of says not really, because, I asked him, I said, Michael, have you talked to her about the Ten Commandments? So she heard that part, and Debbie was very honest. She says, no, I'd never heard that. You know,
okay, Trish,
she's so cute. She's only been in the States for 6 months. She just came from India.
Trish, I got to ask, because you're the type of person to ask, are they living together?
You know, I haven't asked them that.
All right. So,
why don't we get Trish to do this one?
Do you want it? Should we? Okay. You've got like 5 minutes. Let's find out. Maybe a more concerning issue is let's see if they're living together. That might be something that's even more problematic.
I'm walking over to his little sports car now. He's sitting in it.
Entourage is following.
So we're gonna,
I need to drive
to
a sports car.
I'm just going to ask you a couple of quick questions.
Saved.
Okay, so Michael, right? Michael and Debbie. Real quick, now, you're a Christian, or, you know, say that you're Christian, but, you know, I have some concerns about that with regards to, she had never heard about the Ten Commandments before, had she?
No, she hasn't.
Now, you said you're not really going to church. Now, let me just ask you this. I know it's kind of a personal question, but now, are you two living together? I mean, you've only been together for about 6 months. Are you guys living together?
We're currently living together right now because of an accident she's gotten into. But she does have her own place to live. I'm kind of helping out with the transportation and everything. So at the moment, she has been staying with me for about a month.
Huh. Okay. Do you know what the Bible says about that?
About living together? No, I didn't know there was anything about living together.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you know what the Bible talks about being unequally yoked with unbelievers? There's a pretty specific passage in the Bible that talks about that. I don't know if maybe you're not familiar with that. I'm not sure how much you read your Bible, but have you heard of that?
Well, it's been a while since I've read anything on that, but what I've always was told is that I think I'm trying to remember who I heard this from. I heard it from a brother that, you know, you should not disown anybody that doesn't believe in what you believe in. That if you're a Christian and you do your job as being a Christian, that person will follow you within the amount of time. So, and the way I've looked at it is, if I lead by example and she sees the way I live my life, then maybe converting to what I am or what my beliefs are is based upon my actions.
Now, it doesn't seem like she's interested, though. Didn't you say that you've talked to her a little bit? She doesn't seem very too interested in the God of the Bible, is that right?
I think she's actually very interested. She's very interested in what happens after death.
Hey, Trish.
She does not fully believe in what she believes in.
Trish.
And for that reason, that's why we talked
about
it a lot.
He's got the phone, Todd.
Because she's confused enough on her own.
Hey, Trish. Trish.
Todd.
Ray wants to know, can we ask them, please, living together, does that mean that they're sharing the same bed?
So let me ask you this. Going back to living together, if you guys are living together, does that mean that you're sharing the same bed? Like, do you guys have different beds?
No, we don't. We do sleep in the same bed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you know what the Bible says about fornication, because I'm sure there's got to be some sort of temptation to be, to be physical with the girlfriend that you love. I mean, you seem to care about her. Right when she got off the air, she fell into your arms and started hugging you and almost crying after she was off the air. I mean, it looks like you guys are pretty close. You can't possibly be in the same bed without having, like, sexual relations together.
Well, it was an issue at first because, based upon her religion, she doesn't have any sexual relationships either until marriage. But I'm not going to lie. You know, yes, we've done our share of bad things in the bed, but, you know, we've taken that agreement based upon how things have happened in our relationship and how we've cared for each other in our relationship.
Okay, well, Michael, I've got to pat you on the shoulder and tell you that I'm concerned about you, okay? And this is why. Is because this is what I struggle with, is that you can't really claim to be a Christian and follow Christ and be living, number one, you know, with a girlfriend. And I know you seem like you really care about her, but my concern is that you care more about her than you do the God of the Bible, because the Bible is very clear about fornication, you know, that you're not supposed to have sex before marriage, because it's you're sinning against your own soul and God, and it's pretty serious. God's not going to take it lightly, you know. And you claiming the name of Christ, that's just a bad example. I mean, you know, for someone that you want to bring to the Lord, that's not the way to bring them to the Lord. You got to live a holy life. You got to really, really, if you're going to preach Christ or if you're going to claim to be a Christian, you got to represent him uprightly. And I mean, you're definitely not doing that, I'd say, by living with her and sleeping in the same bed. So I'd really challenge you to think about that, because the Bible talks about that as being wrong. I mean, you know, and when was the last time you read your Bible?
Probably within 3 or 4 days. Based upon that, though, you know, on the marriage thing, marriage, I do believe, is based upon two people having agreement with God that be married. And that's where it was a very...
My question would be, which God? Because her God is not your God.
That's where it gets in the jeopardy thing, because, you know, she could promise that just like I could promise that, but we're not promising it to the same person. She might promise it to hers, and I promise it to mine. But out of respect for her, you know, that's why I don't push her too much on it, is because, you know, if you push her too much, she doesn't listen. At that point, she blocks everything what people are trying to tell her, and she's just, you know, you can't force it on her for that reason.
Todd and Ray?
Yes.
Any other questions that you'd like to put?
Oh, asked and answered. Ray?
Oh, thanks for asking that question on my behalf, Todd.
Well, I knew you wanted to know, because we're so close. Okay. Hey, Trish, would you pass the telly to, what's the fellow's name again? I'm sorry.
Michael.
Michael. Okay. Ray?
What?
You've got like 2 minutes, mister. Go fast.
Yes.
You know what you need to do, Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hello?
Michael.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. My name's Ray. Thank you for being such an honest person. We really appreciate you coming on the radio. Trisha's concern and her hard words are just because she cares about you and she cares about Debbie and where you're going to spend eternity. Have you ever read Matthew 7, where Jesus said, "Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Have you read that?
Not quite sure. It's rough to hear you. Can you say it a little slower?
Yeah, it's the day of judgment. Jesus will say to many people, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Yeah.
And so such a thing as a false convert. And that's someone who comes to Christ, but they're not genuinely repentant. They believe, but they haven't truly turned from their sin. Now, have you put yourself through the Ten Commandments? Have you looked at yourself in the light of God's standard?
Yes, I guess I could say yes. I know that I've sinned, and I know majority of the Ten Commandments to know to say that.
Well, let's just go through four of them and see how you do. Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Does that make you a liar? Have you ever stolen?
Yes, I have.
Does that make you a thief? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I probably have, but I do my best not to do it anymore.
So it's blasphemy. It's very serious using God's name as a cuss word. And listen to this. Jesus said you don't have to get physical to do the deed. He said, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." So you just have to look with lust, and you've committed adultery in the sight of a holy God. So you've done that?
Yes, I have.
And you've committed fornication. So you're in big trouble on Judgment Day. So with that knowledge, you can come to the Lord and truly repent and be sorry for your sins. Because if you see sin as being, well, everyone does that, you know, not very serious, you won't truly be sorry. But if you understand how much you've sinned against God, that your sin is exceedingly sinful in God's eyes, that you're worthy of hell, then you can say, God, please forgive me, I'm a sinner. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and find a place of true biblical repentance. So, hey, thanks for listening. Trish will talk further with you about these things. Really appreciate you coming on the air.
Until next time, go serve your King.